Hey everyone, my name is A.B. Williams, and this is PCP episode. I gotta start over.
Tequila.
Wow. Anyway, hey everyone, my name is A.B. Williams, and this is PCP episode 052. First-person shooters. But on this script, yeah, we have a script this time.
Oh, it's yeah.
FPS.
But unlike the script, Audie's not here.
Man. Oh, geez.
Easy.
He's avoiding us.
He's nowhere to be found.
But saying he has a cold.
He moved on to his own thing. You know, he's doing his own podcast, drugs.
Another secret.
With Aaron.
Secret of Black Hammer, I guess,
well,
just came out.
Drugs with Audie and Aaron.
Woo woo!
It's like the heroin this week is Kentucky County white milk. It goes down smooth, has a nice body full, and you can share deals with it, which is great.
Blue magic. You just start playing the entire American Gangster soundtrack.
It's a brand name. Like Pepsi, it's a brand name. Ain't I guarantee no it.
Like how smooth Josiah is coming through my ears. Like, but that ain't no love.
And, I know, right?
Anyway, this is Josiah Bradley on the ones and twos.
I was having a very stimulating game of golf earlier, and y'all drugged me in here for this.
We drugged you?
All
we're
I played.
Audie and Avery? I'm sorry, Audie and Avery. My bad.
Yeah, all I played was Halo. I could be polishing my 9-irons right now.
Polishing his 9-irons.
Masturbation joke.
Travis.
Why, Lord?
Marcus Ellison on the threes and fours.
What are the threes and fours?
No idea. I'm just going to keep making up numbers.
Okay.
And I'm going on the six and sevens.
See, why would you give a Native American this advanced weapons technology? I just think that it's kind of peculiar. And why are there dinosaurs? Why?
We'll talk about Turok.
Oh, we shall.
Anyway, someone plug the show.
Turok. Okay, we have the Tumblr.
Do we?
Yeah, do we?
It's there.
I mean,
it's out there somewhere.
It's there. I think Gerard.
I mean, if people want us to do stuff on it,
I think Gerard still checks it.
Let a nigga know.
But then again, I'm not sure.
Does Gerard still have a Tumblr? Because I haven't seen his post on my dash.
No, he does. But we have the Tumblr, which is pcplovers.anonymous.tumblr.com, which is directly linked up to our iTunes. But then again, you could go to our website for that.
Yeah.
popculturepodcast.wordpress.com. And that's also directly linked up to the iTunes.
Got an archive for all our past episodes.
Exactly. Everything still a work in progress. Personally, once we get that up and running, technically, I'm probably going to delete the Tumblr because we don't really need it. And we didn't end up taking those nude pictures, I promise. So, I mean, there's no purpose.
But don't worry. We're going to be a fuck you PC. Fuck yeah PCP in the future.
One day. One day. And it won't be made by us.
And we promise they won't be leaked by Ryan Reynolds.
I hope not. Because he's a cruel,
new
cruel
tube
man.
Tube socks ready.
Oh, you got them tube socks, boy.
With the red heel and the red toes, yeah.
My mustache going to be looking extra. I'm sorry, go ahead.
He about to have that Burt Reynolds. Because everybody knows Burt Reynolds has the greatest mustache of all time.
Isn't it No Shaves November?
No, yep.
November. Yep.
I'm going to get in trouble.
You've already failed.
No, I have a shade. I'm just going to get in trouble for having a full beard by the end of the month.
At least you can actually grow a full beard. See, me, it just kind of... I know you can. I can't. Like, I don't know why I can't grow a full beard.
Because you're not a man.
Oh. We'll take this outside and tell this after
PCP
FPS.
PCP will return after these messages from...
Ronnie Paper Towels. Ronnie Paper Towels. When you need to be a man, you don't got to grow one a beard.
Brought to you by Ron Swanson. Then we have the email, which is we love
on
PC.
Cartridge here. It says Sonic the Hedgehog.
What's your religion? My religion is none of your goddamn business. We have an email, which is we love PCP at yahoo.com. You know, the email that we used for our email episode where we answered emails. Yeah.
Yes. Thanks for that.
That happened.
Yep.
I've been actually in contact with single black female. It's been some interesting conversations there.
Oh, word. So
why are you with a white woman?
So is she?
Why aren't black women good enough?
Also, do you think she should choose white J or black J? Because she watched a lot of Awkward Black Girl.
Then we have Facebook page, which is the only thing that's technically really lively right now.
Mm-hmm.
Pop culture podcast. Thank There's you. Dots on the script.
Why are there...
Why are there dots on the script?
Just do the Twitter part. So
and we have the Twitter. Just we love PCP. It's been fucked.
I thought
we moved past the dots.
We did. I was just hoping you wouldn't mention it. I just used copy and paste. I never.
It's fair enough.
It's been a long day.
See, at least I didn't say the dots like Audie would have. It just ruined everything.
Oh, you really hate Audie, don't you?
No, right?
I just don't like the fact that he can't read. I feel like that's an essential life skill.
Like growing a beard.
Oh.
I'm sorry.
How about you donate me some of your hair on top of your head so I can actually have a beard?
How does that work?
I don't know. Let's move on.
No science either.
Medical science. Yeah, so...
Team Medical Dragon.
Yeah, someone go... We're talking about first-person shooters for this episode. So someone go down a rough draft, really, of what a first-person shooter means.
Well, basically, they're an action series of games that's very much focused on gunplay. Now, we have plenty of options for that, but it's always from that first-person perspective.
Is gunplay related to foreplay?
Only if you live in Texas. Which is pretty great.
Texas.
Dumb old Texas.
Texas almost got me in trouble once in the movie theater.
What? Oh, I guess I have to tell the story now.
Yes,
it's hilarious. Oh, we're sitting in line. I forgot what movie we're going to go see.
Transformers.
Why?
Transformers 2. And, well, Marcus was making a lot of jokes about how the only good thing that came out of Texas was Beyonce. And there just happened to be a dude sitting next to us who was in the military wearing
a Dallas Cowboys?
Yes. He was wearing some sort of basketball jersey or something. And
Texas A&M or something.
And he turned to me, ignoring Marcus, who's still talking about how much Texas sucks, and said, hey, your boy better shut up about Texas or he's going to feel something later. And I'm like, okay, then. I turn to Marcus and say, you should stop with the Texas Joes. And we turn around, you see the man, he points out, yeah, I was in the military, I will kill you.
And this dude has this big old tattoo of Texas right on his arm. I almost got killed at the movie theaters.
I'm just asking why I was in Maryland. That's
what
I'm going to
do. What were you doing here? Right. Exactly.
Yeah. When you could be in Texas right now.
Exactly. If you love Texas so much,
golfing.
What you doing here? But anyway,
I thought it was America.
Well, I'm sorry. I thought it was America.
I fought for this country, not for the state.
Yeah, continue with your
talking. Yeah, basically, and it's all oriented in the first person for the purpose of...
What if he's listening to this podcast right now? He's not.
That would trip Buzz like, you're the guy.
And then he would come find the brownstone.
He'd just come bust.
And we'd have to find a new brownstone.
Right when Audie's not...
The one time
Audie's not here to protect this.
Exactly.
He comes busting through the Texas.
The worst bodyguard ever.
Look, Seagal has a sword and bat. I think we can hold our own. And a dog.
And a gun.
True.
Fox is not really going to do much of anything. But so just like bark.
But I have a gun.
But she
too.
Will fuck his day up. Stop barking!
Stop. Shut up. I can't kill a dog. I'm in the military. It's just not right.
It's not right in any sense of the word.
It's not.
Maybe the one in Cujo. That dog had to go.
Well, Cujo had rabies, but it still hurt to take about.
Yeah, fair enough. But yeah, and...
It was his fault. It was the rabies. I mean, the rabies. Sometimes I just feel like mispronouncing a word. Just because.
Just to make people mad.
Yeah, and like, all right, back to the description of what a first-person shooter is.
Yes.
And they're... Are we dissociating from light gun shooters as well in this case?
Yes.
Oh, light gun.
Light gun
wow.
shooters are sort of a different genre, but light gun shooters are in the same genre as shooters.
Frickin' Duck Hunt.
But it's a different type of interpretation.
The immersion is different. Yes. Like the first person elements of that are not limited to just, okay, point the gun and we're moving on rails necessarily. We're talking about the early games like... Your Return to Captain Wolfenstein and the like, or the early Dunes, where it's like you have your stats.
Wolfenstein.
Wolfenstein was the first game that really, I wouldn't say, popularized what
first-person shooter. As far as like design,
and then Doom took that to another level.
You have a lateral movement and you move forward, pretty much. That's the locking of it.
Napa.
We've since advanced since then. Lord.
I love you, too.
Yeah, and we talked about how first-person shooters have become sort of synonymous with the word shooter now, mm-hmm. but it's fundamentally different to what you get with a third-person shooter.
Back in the day.
You mean 4 years ago?
Pretty much. Yeah, it's like 5 years ago.
Back in my day.
Yeah, when people use computers, there was a point where like shooters were kind of deemed like what hardcore gamers were into. Like,
yeah.
We're talking about the LAN parties, hooking up rigs, like dragging them off the tournament.
Well, because shooters fundamentally before Halo came in and changed the game were a PC thing.
Shooters were console based. Like the control scheme was like always mouse and keyboard.
Yeah, so if you wanted to play a first person shooter, you had to be actually invested in video games.
Go to computer cafes and play big, huge games of SOCOM.
Yep, which required like high technical specs that like no one could really afford or anything like that. And it was just ridiculous to think of, oh, we're going to play this on a gamepad. It just didn't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
But eventually we advanced to a point around the Xbox.
Well, GoldenEye first showed up, and that said, it's possible. But then no one could capture that until Halo changed the entire first-person shooter market.
GoldenEye gave us that four-player split-screen action to realize, wow, we're kind of missing on something with these first-person actions.
Oh, GoldenEye.
Yeah.
I used to play as
Odd. And it's one of the things, like, we'll talk about GoldenEye later when we talk about multiplayer games, because GoldenEye, for what the single player was, it was the multiplayer that made it such a
cool
classic.
It really is.
Mm-hmm.
Let me ask you, without remembering the actual movie GoldenEye, can you actually remember what the story was?
Beyond the Golden Gun? No.
I just remember Boromore was in it.
Exactly.
That's about it.
Good old Sean
Penn.
That's
a trait with first-person shooters.
I meant Sean Bean, not Sean Penn. Sean Penn was an I Am Sam.
I love I Am Sam.
I know.
Me too. Yes.
But he went full retard. That's why I didn't get that Oscar.
That scene at the restaurant with the waitress, that was just awkward. I had to change the channel.
You make me.
No, please.
No,
that was enough of that.
We aren't doing this like I ride the bus with my sister stuff. All right, Rosie O'Donnell.
It's enough of that.
She has her own show.
On Oprah's network.
How dare she?
I'm waiting for Ricky Lake to show up and get her own show.
Word. I miss Ricky.
I do. You should watch Dancing with the Stars. She's fantastic.
You know, she was looking pretty bad when they did that whole,
I always did think she had a booty.
Weird.
Well, she started off as, you know, really big. John Waters picked her up, and then she's like, I gotta get skinny, because no one's gonna see this. Then she became skinny, then she aged and put on that mom weight, and
still out kind of nicely.
Now she's
kind of bad. Saw her in that VH1 charm school. So.
Yeah.
Pretty bad.
Mm-hmm.
Were we talking about shooters?
Yes, we were.
Guns. I like to shoot something. Sorry.
Shooters have also become synonymous with the male brain. Yeah. And that's a good example.
Yeah. Because the gun is like a penis.
And it's just a giant cock match.
We talk about multiplayer. We'll bring that.
Oh, yeah.
It's very dangerous. And if you touch it wrong, it could go off. I feel bad about that.
What were we even talking about?
I don't know, but we were talking about
GoldenEye, and
we were differentiating between third person and first person. Like,
beyond the eyes, like,
beyond the whole first person camera
and the character model and things like that. Like, fundamentals.
There are fundamental differences. Like, story, when you have a third person shooter and you can see the character,
emotion express,
story becomes a bigger part of the game. Well, first person, and something we'll talk about when we get to most of these games, story doesn't become, is never a factor.
One of my main problems with first-person shooters, one of the reasons why I never got into them hugely is because there was a bit of a disconnect, seeing as you can't really see your player.
True.
And so there's almost no, you know,
connection.
Yeah, it just feels
you're just there.
Exactly. It's just that you're there to shoot
that's
things.
That's kind of the opposite for a lot of people.
Well, let's do a little slight transition to our feelings on first-person shooters. Because on multiple podcasts, I think RPGs, especially in our video game one, we talk about how this, as a group, we are not first-person shooter fans. We can appreciate the craft for a good first-person shooter, but for the most part, it's not the game that we're going to run out on day one to go
buy. I was hard to first-person shooters for a long, long time. It kind of fell off when I got to college, and that's where I just had less time to play shooters, and I realized they're all kind of, you know, blurring together a little bit. Like, beyond some polish and some trimmings here and there, I realize there's not much distinction. I'm in it for the experience of playing with certain people and a few particular weapons for the most part.
Yes, We all know Thurnus doesn't play anything but golf.
So,
golf is still a first-person shooter. I mean, you're seeing the game in first-person, and swinging the clubs, I think.
First-person clubber?
Yes, the club. It's sort of like,
Fair enough.
Personally, my thing with first-person shooters is that first-person shooters it's the narrative thing. Is that when I usually play a game for a strong narrative and a strong connection of characters, and you rarely get that in a first-person shooter. And most
that's not to say that
there are games.
Yeah.
We're talking about some that do have good stories and do well telling them.
We're talking about very impressive stories.
But in the end of the day, like with first-person shooters, is that like everything and not more often now, all energy is poured into the multiplayer and making that an experience. And as we've talked about, I own a PS3. I don't play games for multiplayer.
Me neither.
Even though the online is free.
Every once in a while I'll dip in the multiplayer, but that's not where the longevity of a game is for me.
Yeah. I think also for me with first-person shooters, it's a bit... they're a bit harder for me to play for some reason because of the simple fact, like, especially if you're playing a game where...
First-person shooters, they're fundamentally based on your skill.
Yeah.
It's not like an RPG where as long as you understand how the game works, you can get through it. First-person shooter, if your hand-like coordination is crap, there's no way you're getting through it.
Well, yeah. Well, even with that, like, with third-person shooters, I can at least figure out a way to stealthily walk up behind somebody and melee them. With first-person shooters, it's a bit harder because you
have no depth perception.
Exactly.
I mean, you have no actual idea of your surroundings except for what's in front.
And most cover systems in first-person shooters suck. You just crouch behind things, and you can't really,
other context sensitive.
Exactly.
Like that. I get
so it's a bit more difficult. And for some reason, in first-person shooters, I always end up throwing a grenade on accident. Because
I think that's your
shut up.
That's all on you, bro.
You shut up.
I think this is a good enough time to take a break, and then we'll come back and start talking about some games.
If you having girl problems, I feel bad for you, son. I got 99 problems, but a bitch ain't one. I got the rat patrol on the cat patrol. Foes that want to make sure my cask is closed. Rap critics to say he's money cash holes. I'm from the hood, stupid. What type of facts are those? 99 problems, but a bitch ain't one. If you having girl problems, I feel bad for you, son. I got 99 problems, but a bitch ain't one. Hit me.
Anyway, we're talking about first-person shooters, and there's no first-person shooter where you take out Old Yeller, because that would be messed up.
Wait, what, didn't one of the Dead to Rights game? Wait, no, the dog was on your side. Never mind.
You're talking about Call of Duty with the goddamn dogs.
Did you just name drop Dead to Rights? Dear God.
Look, there was a dog.
That is true crimes.
Wait, hold on a second. At least all those Dead to Rights games came out.
But yeah, let's back to talking about first-person shooters. We're gonna go through some of our favorite franchises and sort of like not dissect, but point out what we liked and what we didn't like before we start getting into more in-depth discussion about the genre.
We're in the midst of game season right now, and
video games?
Yeah, the main reason we decided to do a first-person shooter episode is because, ironically, in a span of a week coming out of each other, both Battlefield 3 and Call of Duty 3 are coming out.
Well,
technically
it's Battlefield 7 and Call of Duty
25,
whatever at this point, so yeah.
But this is like, who's lying? The points don't matter.
Yeah.
Anyway,
neither do these games.
So.
Nah, I'm kidding.
I guess we'll talk about the elephant in the room, Call of Duty first.
All right, cool.
Oh, God.
Call of Duty started out as a World War II game.
Yes, it started off as a World War II game and then slowly...
Back when it was respectable.
Okay,
no, back when we thought we were done with the World War II games, we thought there's nothing more that can be done.
Well, yeah. Well, here's the thing. There were a slew of World War II games.
Oh, yeah.
And Call of Duty was like...
That was back when Call of Duty's main competition was Medal of Honor.
Which, yeah, right. Ironically, was made by the same people who went on to make Modern Warfare.
Right. Huh. What a twist. Yeah. The Medal of Honor franchise, of course, was EA's like flagship property.
Yeah.
That had a stranglehold.
And then
on the market.
Call of Duty became Activision's, and we all know how that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Infinity War was doing some big things at the time, and they just did something, an impressive narrative, and applied a lot of historical World War II documents and the like that really just immersed people in the story. It made it feel, wow, this is really great. Plus, Call of Duty 2, which was an Xbox 360 launch title, really tried it all together.
And then we talked about when it comes to shooters,
uh-huh.
and we'll talk about why this later on when we talk about another game. I normally ignore them. So when Call of Duty Modern Warfare, Call of Duty 4 Modern Warfare came out,
mm-hmm.
I didn't know about it.
Yeah, I looked at it. I did because I was like, I saw it and I thought, this is gorgeous.
The only reason I heard about it is because people were
Andrew
and yeah Andrew and because
the only time
word
I played
mouth,
it was the multiplayer with right. Andrew.
Yeah, and there was so much word of mouth, like.
It was like Modern Warfare was like, okay, the Call of Duty games are just fine. All right, World War II.
Well, they with Call of Duty, it changed the landscape of what these World War II games were doing now. No,
yeah.
After Call of Duty, no one could do a World War II game.
Yeah, it was just done
no.
to death.
Yeah.
At this point, but
I mean, there was always modern time military shooters, but Call of Duty added this weird bombastic Michael Bay effect.
Right.
To these shooters that just made them so excited.
So
this is the point that you can name drop.
It just took the World War II aesthetic and just turned it into an action movie.
Kind of gave it like a music video like veneer to it. So
Michael
speak.
Bay.
Michael Bay!
Exactly. Like a sheen, if you will. So yeah.
And then Modern Warfare 2.
Okay. Modern Warfare 2, after all the buzz and hype coming out with Call of Duty.
That's what we all actually ended up getting.
Yeah. With all the buzz and hype coming out with Call of Duty, I was like, okay, I went to the GameStop and people were going crazy. I'm like, I've made a point. I'm a connoisseur of video game craft. And
right.
If this game is as good as everyone's saying it, I'm doing myself a disservice and not playing it.
Like, mm-hmm. tight controls, 60 frames per second.
So
I've
played
smooth.
Call of Duty 2. Modern Warfare 2.
Yep.
And I was pleasantly surprised at how great of a shooter it was.
Oh, yeah.
And how not good the story was, but how enjoyable
yeah.
it was.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hmm. That Modern Warfare 2 was an experience to me. Just because of, like, I can't really tell you how good the story was, but I can tell, yeah, but I can tell you that I had a hell of a lot of fun playing through it.
Yes,
yeah.
Because I felt like I was an action star in that game.
Yeah. In fact, the worst thing I can say about my experience with Modern Warfare 2 involved the people I was playing with for the most part,
and that's the problem with
oh yeah,
and then why. We're bringing this up because of Call of Duty 3. I mean, Modern Warfare 3. Activision had some issues with. Activision as the evil corporation in video games,
as
it's become known as
yeah.
from various practices.
Wink, wink.
Decided to after they with more Modern Warfare and how big it became, decided we're going to do a yearly Call of Duty schedule. And that sort of
oversaturation.
It oversaturated. For me personally,
two studios, one title.
Yeah, it oversaturated for me the Call of Duty name. So when the group Infinity Ward essentially broke apart, and most of those moved on to what's their new studio?
Treyarch.
Not Treyarch.
No, Treyarch.
The Infinity Ward guys.
The Infinity Ward moved on to their own, like, because
Respawn.
Respawn. Yeah, I was
going to say Respawn. I lost faith in what was going to happen with the Call of Duty franchise because Activision overtly did not know what they were really doing creatively.
They were throwing
in
like Call of Duty games like Big Red 1 and what was the Vietnam?
It wasn't Viet Cong.
I don't know.
No, it was
all
in all,
was when Black Ops was coming out and everyone was going like crazy over it, I was like, I don't care.
Except for I wanted to get the deluxe version because it has like a little drone.
Oh, well, yeah.
Yeah. I'll give Activision this. They know good swag when it comes to like.
Well, that's also because you guys are collectors and you just buy deluxe editions of stuff.
Look, I'm getting the Assassin's Creed deluxe edition for free. All I have to do is pay the $60 for the actual game. I'm getting it for free.
Oh.
A deafening silence struck the room for a moment.
Yeah. I know, we were just like, how you do that?
So we're at GameStop now.
So what was up with that controversy?
Oh, okay. I really don't want to go into it because it's something we can probably touch on more when we actually do a Call of Duty episode. But long story short.
We're doing one?
Yes. It's a big enough franchise for us.
Fair enough.
Essentially, Activision manipulated the Infinity Ward guys to essentially not get paid for the game that they made.
Yep.
And that caused a lot of issues with them, and they started reaching out to other studios to sort of see what they can do if this Activision thing doesn't work out. And all I'm going to say is Activision's relationship with the Infinity Ward guys broke, and all of them left.
Dang.
That's why I personally don't care about Modern Warfare 3. Because as someone who understands
it's the same title, but it's like none of the people who did.
Yes, exactly. So will it be the same game or just a shadow of the game that could have been Modern
Warfare
3?
It'll certainly resemble it, But like
that's what I felt when I went out and bought Black Ops later on after all the hoopla was over, just to say I'm not being like, oh, it's Black Ops, I don't care. Yeah. Just to be objective about it.
Yeah.
And I played it, and it's like I could feel it being trying to be Modern Warfare.
It's a simulation of
but it didn't work for me.
Sounds like a poor man's Modern Warfare.
Yeah, it's like it's how I felt when Treyarch's previous game, World at War, came out.
Yeah.
I played it, and I'm like, I don't care about
World at War. Like, that was the one. Yeah.
My thing with Modern Warfare 3 is, to me, I got what I wanted to out of Modern Warfare 2.
And as a person who's not really a shooter fan, you need to do something more than just another military shooter.
Like, put it in the future or something. But, like, Modern Warfare 3, I'm just sitting here like, okay, I don't really care that much because, to me, it can only just do what Modern Warfare 2 did. And
I get it. We're in
and it's not being made by the people who did Modern Warfare
2. And I'm not paying $60 so that I can relive the same experience.
Right. Even though all it means is that, I get it.
Especially because I don't play multiplayer. And Call of Duty players are some of the biggest douchebags in the entire world.
It is this weird magnification.
My thing, we've talked about the Penny Arcade, they coined it first, the anonymity plus the internet plus a good person breeds asshole.
Oh, yeah.
And this faceless, and what the bigger problem is, the main demographic for Call of Duty aren't adults.
Even though the game's already an M.
Yeah, they are prepubescent teenagers with all the time in the world to play multiplayer.
Like 14-year-olds or so, by and large. But
and all of them are assholes.
Yep.
Because they can. It's not like
they're little shits.
Anonymity.
To me, the multiplayer thing isn't even fun because, like...
Like I said, when we talk about what the definition of first-person shooters and what they are and how the gameplay works, there's a certain amount of skill that goes into playing a first-person shooter. And the single player is supposed to train you in that skill so you can kill on to play it in the multiplayer. But there's a steep learning curve depending on how well the first-person shooter fan you are. When we were playing Modern Warfare, like just like the four of us, it was a fun experience because we were all evenly matched. There was no one who sat there and
studied,
who played the game for a long period of time and knew it in and out.
Well, even also to me, like playing with you guys, I just know that we're just playing to play. But you play online, people, and they are literally trying to prove something. And it's just like, it's not fun to me.
But in that picture, it's during a bad environment. That's the thing. Like, that's the reason that guy in Britain found that kid who kept calling him like different things, went to his house, and choked him out.
God.
Like the guy should be punished. But I'm like
quite honestly, I would personally love if they gave out everyone's personal information on all multiplayers just to shut people up.
It's like
because if you call someone a dick 700 times, they will come to your house.
It's like, I banged your mom on the 99%.
Hey, you faggot.
It's what happened in Jane Silent Bob Strike Back.
Yeah, it's just like I'm gonna go through this list and just call out all these haters like just explicitly. Like
we talk too much about Call of Duty. And let's talk about
a lot of the dudes who play it.
Yeah, Call of Duty is one of the major factions of why video games has become sort of a casual thing.
Yeah, when shooters went from that hardcore.
Yeah, all those people. I'm totally a gamer. I play Call of Duty.
Really? I play Halo.
Do you play games?
He's totally a gamer because golf is a game. Golf is a game.
Well, hey, it's a game.
We're on that PGA 2012.
And only dedicated gamers would play that. Well,
that's a lot of skill.
No, that's an athlete right there. That's,
oh, yeah.
High five. I respect what you do, sir.
Tiger Woods, y'all.
But anyway, on the opposite spectrum, and one of the is Battlefield,
right?
Which...
Started off in the World War II
game. Yeah, it started off in the World War II game. And
Battlefield 1942.
And then... It stayed the World War II game for a long period of time.
We got a few of those games. Like it was a game that was like shadowed by multiplayer.
That's the thing. Call of Duty has become known for its multiplayer.
But it's really a one-man band kind of
thing. Yeah. While Battlefield was built on its multiplayer.
It's about a squad. Like the Battlefield 1942, 43, Vietnam, all those games. It's like you picked a class and you had a duty to play.
Like outside of in all of first-person shooter them. I personally believe Battlefield has the best multiplayer.
I agree.
Outside of Team Fortress 2, which is a completely different animal, Battlefield has the best
multiplayer. As far as head-to-head multiplayer, yeah, I agree with you.
And this is why my problem came with the ongoing Call of Duty Modern Warfare versus Battlefield thing.
They're not the same, really.
They're not the same.
They're the same genre, but
the same genre. And personally, Battlefield looks like a much better game. Yeah. It looks like aesthetically, it looks better.
It looks a smarter game, if nothing else.
It looks beautiful.
Yeah, yeah.
It does look like a beautiful game.
Yeah.
But I mean, personally, I've never played any of the Battlefield games. Never played
any of
them.
And this is PlayStation again?
Yes.
Okay.
I've never played any of them because I'm not a FPS fan. Honestly, I don't really pay much attention to... Like, when people were talking about Battlefield, I wasn't paying much attention. And when people really... hyping up Battlefield, I was already playing Modern Warfare.
Because even though that kind of changed the Battlefield Bad Company games, and like, and they've kind of done more delineation with like Battlefield Modern Combat, which really was an early usher to the Modern Combat into like current states, mm-hmm. and Battlefield 2142, which was in the future, but that one was mired by issues of like DLC and digital rights management and DRM and stuff like that. So it's just like it's a problem. So
yeah,
it's weird with those games.
Anyway, Call of Duty 3 is going to come out this week,
right,
or the week after this one.
Right.
And Battlefield 3 has already come out, and the verdict is Battlefield 3's multiplayer lives up completely to what the expectations right. were for Battlefield. It's single player, which they were trying to match Call of Duty with, does not work.
Very forgettable. Like, it's a lot of gloss and sand on the camera.
And boring.
Pretty much. Like, when it comes down to it, we love these squad tactics. I really don't care unless I'm like I care about.
Yeah, that's what I have heard is like how the thing about Modern Warfare's single player is the fact that
even if it doesn't make sense, as a story, it's still bombastic.
Exactly,
enough that you feel
it's
like,
made with all these. It's almost like comparing.
It's like I said, a Michael Bay movie. You don't go to see Michael Bay movie for the.
But it's like story. it's like comparing like Burnout or Split Second to Gran Turismo. You know, like, one is a really...
They're both racing games, driving games, but
they're two different
sides. One's a simulator, one's an arcade action game.
Exactly.
I was kind of hoping that Battlefield was going to bring sort of a contrary experience.
It would be our letters from Iwo Jima to Pearl Harbor, basically, yeah.
But we got was a letter from Iwo Jima that went on for 7 more hours than it actually needed to be.
A little bit, yeah. But we still got the same experiences from the multiplayer of just like... Slow down! Don't go drive away yet! I can save you!
All I'm going to say is we're going to move on to some more games. We're not going to let Battlefield Call of Duty sort of...
This is our chapter just to talk about the current state of affairs.
Yeah. But like I say, right now Battlefield is going through sort of a transition period and it's multiplayer because it just came out. But when it's all said and done, it's going to go above and beyond what I personally believe anything that Call of Duty will be able to put out.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's going to beat Call of Duty as the premier... multiplayer experience, because Call of Duty has already taken up that market share of being the predominant first-person shooter out. But in time, if this weird rivalry keeps going on, I'm pretty sure Battlefield will take the spot. As long as they fix what they did with the single player for 3, they can and probably will take that spot.
Well, I mean, it will have to eventually.
Because eventually Call of Duty is going to hit that weird saturation point where no one's going to care about it anymore.
Every king falls. So, you know, eventually something will come up and usurp the top spot.
If nothing else, this competition between these juggernauts of EA and Activision will at least...
Or maybe some young whippersnapper will come out of nowhere and just completely throw everything else off.
And now first-person shooters, by and large. Like, I mean, we've gotten maybe one first-person shooter success story as far as indie darlings are concerned, but by and large, they're big studio attempts at, like, just
trying to steal that Call of Duty space, or trying to match it, not steal it. Because they know they're not.
True.
But just trying to create a franchise that they can market enough, like, it's not going to happen. Yeah. So, going back in time, and pretty much the shooter that got me interested in first-person shooters. I mean, I've played others beforehand, unsuccessfully. But the one that got me, really involved was Halo.
Oh. Yep.
Halo is the game that. Damn it! It's fundamentally that it was the game that said that you could do a first person shooter on a console and have it work.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And
without you having to say, "Oh, it's good for a console shooter."
And every first person shooter out now owes everything to Halo.
It kind of.
And regardless of whether people say it's overrated or other games are better, Halo is the forerunner and deserves all the merit that it gets.
I mean, like it or not, Halo was the game that really actually got people excited about first-person shooters again.
Even though
it's the game that made Xbox before Gears showed up.
Yeah, yep. It definitely made Xbox Live. But even though it did.
To the point where they only recently cut down the Xbox Live servers for Halo.
That was the reason that for the cutoff for like 100 friends on Xbox Live, by the way, because they were still using the Xbox servers because of Halo 1 and Halo 2.
And infinite rocket launcher battles.
Yeah, good times.
Because those are always fun.
Yeah.
Yep. Like rocket jumping on people. Yeah. Even though that first Halo game ended in a driving mission, which was very upsetting for me. The Warthog just drifts something ridiculous.
Man. Yeah. Halo 1 had terrible Warthog physics.
Like, the driving is just...
You'd be driving for 2 seconds, and for some reason, the car will just flip over.
It's like...
Well, my thing with Halo 1, if we're going to talk about the vehicles, is that they were fundamentally building a first-person shooter, so the vehicles became second nature when you're actually playing the game out. And they've improved.
Yeah.
The Warthog still sucks to drive.
Yeah. One of that improved. Banshee.
Man, the Banshees, I was so mad that in the first Halo you couldn't technically get in any Banshees at all. So I was upset. Just the freaking, they just fly over mocking us, shooting us with their plasma blasts.
Halo's a great game. We're probably going to do a podcast on Halo sometime out on the line. But we just want to shout it out as the game that all first-person shooters right now
emulate to a certain extent.
They should bow down and kiss thy feet.
Both multiplayer and single-player.
Yep. At least in its current state of affairs. This is not to take away from the Dooms and the Wolfensteins.
Halo owes a lot to the Dooms.
Oh, they definitely do,
But yeah.
Yeah.
But this was the game that really re-energized a franchise that in a way... That in a way kind of was petering out.
Yeah, and I can say I really did enjoy it.
Halo.
I played it.
He put down
often.
Even before the Halo, the new Halo re-release is just coming out, I think, from 2 weeks from now, Halo 1 still holds up as a great game, ignoring the ugly Xbox graphics.
Those textures.
Because outside the library, the level design is fantastic.
And that it still got the best pistol out of all those games. Hands down. If you come on.
I would pistol whip people all the time.
Yeah.
And it was also the last time it was also probably the last time we had health packs in a shooter.
True.
A mechanic of first person shooter that's always annoyed me is regenerating health.
Yes, the shields.
I understand it, but it's always felt cheap to me. Like, another game we're going to talk about, Wolfenstein. I remember the one that came out for the Xbox before they had I think Return of the Castle of Wolfenstein. I played that game, and it had health packs.
It was
challenging. And there was a certain learning curve to it. I mean, because the health system in old games, I mean, regenerating health is too lenient. You really don't need much skill to get through the game. You just need to be able to avoid getting shot.
I hide. That's about it. So,
In the old games where you had health, it was all about actually avoiding getting shot.
Yeah.
And not avoiding enough bullets.
And you had to know where it was. It's like, you had to figure out, I'm low now. You guys cover me. I need to make my way this way. I need to avoid these people. I need some kills along the way. Stuff like that. Now when it's just like I can just simmer down and it's all well and good.
I mean, when we were talking earlier on about first person shooters, we talked about that story itself isn't a big part. Story is usually a framing device for the shooter itself, and few from a first person perspective that rarely do story well.
Yeah, there are of course,
and even and it's easy to do story in a game if you cut to a cutscene.
And first-person shooters don't usually have cutscenes.
Yeah, and like the games I can remember offhand of first-person shooters that do story well as a part of the actual game's narrative are a lot of the Valve work, like Half-Life.
The Half-Life series.
Half-Life series does fantastic work with storytelling. Yeah. I mean, and just using the first-person perspective.
The story only hindrance for the Half-Life series being that Valve doesn't like to do their episodic content.
Release a game every 10 years.
Yeah, geez. I mean, like, we've had episode 1, episode 2. I mean, the Orange Box is like one of those great deals of like, oh, you get Portal, you get Team Fortress, you get Half-Life episodes 1 and 2. It's been years. Where is our episode 3 at this point? Come on now.
And then, like, Left 4 Dead is another one. That same vein, like, Left 4 Dead is...
Watch Dog Duty?
Left 4 Dead is interesting in terms of telling a story because there's no story to the game.
No.
Survive.
Like, it's...
Just survive.
In a weird way,
But they built strong enough characters that you can sort of make your own story as you're playing along.
And it did something weird where you actually cared about your character dying for some reason. And like the thing that was special to me about
Left 4 Dead. Except if you're any of the characters from Left 4 Dead 2.
Yeah.
Except for Ellis.
Hey, man.
Ellis and Zoe were about to get
Ellis loves horses.
Yes.
But the thing about Left 4 Dead that was special to me is the fact that it did the four-player party co-op element of it so well that it was just...
Well, that's interesting, because Left 4 Dead took that multiplayer aspect that a lot of shooters work on now and actually incorporated it directly into the gameplay of the story.
Exactly. And it was just...
So, more often than not, you're always playing Left 4 Dead multiplayer. It's not you're just not realizing
it's it. Not just the aesthetic of, like, oh, okay, like, I'm in a zombie world. Like, Dead Island, you know, for all the problems it had, was not quite that. Not a bad game, per se, but it's like, it doesn't have that catharsis, that feeling of, like, drive between, within either of the Left 4 Dead games. Well, I'm going
to
say both
the thing
of them.
The thing about Left 4 Dead is it was so fun trying to survive.
Right.
Like, these were waves and waves of zombies.
Like, oh my gosh, there's a boomer!
And exactly. And the fact that it had class levels of zombies, like, these are the projectile zombies.
The vomit.
Aerial zombies.
Right.
And then...
Aerial zombies.
Which is like,
the
flying. The hunter. It's not necessarily aerial. Stalker. But it attacks
The witch is crying.
And then you're like, god-tier zombies, like the freaking tank.
Yeah. Question. I killed the tank with a Molotov cocktail. Beating it with a katana.
Why is Left 4 Dead? What puts Left 4 Dead on here and not Resident Evil as far as first person shooters?
Resident Evil isn't a first person shooter. It was always a third person fixed camera shooter until it became a more direct third person shooter.
Yeah.
Dang.
Even though there were these swing out moments here and there, because like, you could do like the rail stuff and things like that. It still wasn't in a fixed portion of those games.
Yeah.
It didn't happen to like 4 and 5 anyway. So.
I think at this point.
Wait, what was Covaronica? No, Covaronica was not either.
No.
No, there was one. There was
I think those were the Wii games.
Yeah, never mind.
Umbrella. There's Dead Aim, and then I think Umbrella Chronicles.
Those were light gun games, though. Yeah.
But I mean, Left 4 Dead is one of my favorite first person shooters.
Was there one where you basically played Carl Winslow?
I think that was the one for PS2.
Yeah, it was for the PS2.
The one
with Zero.
Their MMO one.
That's it. Yeah.
Raccoon City Files or something.
Yeah. Yeah, something like that. Yeah. Okay.
Oh,
but I mean, now Left 4 Dead is one of my favorite like
shooters
of all time. To the point that that's probably the one first person shooter where if anybody suggests let's play it, I will readily play that game.
The only problem with the Left 4 Dead thing is that you've got to have multiple Xboxes, multiple copies of the game, and multiple TVs to really get the full experience of the
co-op. This is one of those cases where it's like the PC takes precedent as far as like the experience for that game.
Which, honestly, if they do make a third, who knows if they do, I hope they fix that.
I never thought Valve would make...
They're not going to fix that.
I never thought...
That's become a game design choice in the modern age. Yeah. I doubt they're going to take...
I never thought that Valve would do two games within 2 years for a series, but
hey. I think it was popular demand. Like, people demanded another Left 4 Dead.
No one demanded another Left 4 Dead.
No, people were upset.
People were upset when they came out.
They
were
pissing and moaning about, like...
Really?
Yeah. Because Valve pretty much promised that they were just going to keep coming out with content for one, and then instead of coming out with content,
a full new game.
Okay.
If they were to release Half-Life 3 before Episode 3 came out, people would have a fit about it would not just ignore, like, oh, we're getting more great games. No, we're not getting the content we wanted specifically. Like, whatever. You're going to love it all the same, most likely.
But yeah, I mean, like...
I was one of those people who were anti-Left 4 Dead 2. And I'm still kind of anti-Left 4 Dead. Mm-hmm. Like, did a lot of cool things for the franchise, but at the end of the day, I don't really care about any of the characters. Like, I cared about the Left 4 Dead 1 character,
right.
Who I wanted to be.
That was so sad.
Yeah, but we're still talking about like games with like great stories and like another one.
I'm Randy in BioShock. I mean,
yes, like, BioShock is another example of just great storytelling
in a world.
When does Infinite come out?
Next year, sometime I think spring, hopefully, maybe.
And let them fix her cleavage problem.
Well, look, the problem is there's nothing wrong with her cleavage.
It's
not that
a problem? But it's just
like, Infinite is such an engaging game from what we've seen of it. That's one of those things that, like, you could just imagine one person playing it and everyone around them just being enraptured, like, just watching it. When we saw the trailer for Infinite,
yeah.
I downloaded it to my PS3, and we watched that, and Everyone watching me watched the trailer was confused whether this was the actual game or not.
Yeah, we thought he was playing.
It's like, it is like...
Like, we were actually screaming at, like, him to tell him, like, move.
Or those, like, those first two games, like, in Underwater Raptor, just to see, like, in this sky city of sorts, just like... Which, actually, frankly, it makes a lot more sense when you think about it. Like,
a sky city seems easier to build than a city underwater.
The infrastructure required for that is just like, how are you building this? And no one...
However, the logistics to build a sky city seem a little bit scarce. First of all, how do you get the first elements to float?
Look, if the Jetsons can do it, why not?
Well, they had...
I mean, what about Lando?
So, they had Cogs and Sprockets.
Cloud City.
True. But in a giant
you
glass
dirty
dome.
Down no good swindler. Anyway.
But back to...
King Lando. Bioshock. Yeah, it's all... Great franchise. That's another game we'll probably do our own sort of in-depth talk about that franchise.
Interesting game to me, yeah.
It's the only time we can say Big Daddy without it being weird.
Does
or Adam Sandler.
Does Tom Clancy games have good story?
You know, it's weird. It
seems so novel.
Early on, they did.
It's funny because like they're based on the properties that Tom Clancy put out.
Yeah, like
rarely the story that he actually worked on.
Ironically, the strongest story is from Splinter Cell, but that isn't a first person shooter. No, I mean it had first person shooter elements, of course, but like the Ghost Recon, Rainbow Six games. All great.
Those are just really sort of just tactical shooters.
They're smart.
Tactical military shooters, which really don't need much of a story of here is an insurgent, you're a soldier, kill them.
They're thinking man shooter games. And, like the concept of the new ones, like you know the voice controls and things like that. Like it really is kind of impressive. Like what they want to do with it. Like really.
Voice control. I remember the first voice control
was on the
game
PS2.
Was that that girl
Lifeline.
People kept trying to tell show your boobs.
it's like, oh man! No, you should be more serious. I'm calling Chris Hansen. I'm only 16.
Okay, sorry.
All right, you have to shoot a dog in that game.
So I guess you guys need to talk about Duke Nukem.
Because when you talk about great story, you gotta talk about Duke Nukem.
Yeah, we were on great stories, Josiah. We're ruining it.
Well, the story behind Duke Nukem though—that's pretty interesting.
You mean the game that took 10 years to come out
and
came
I'm
out
here to
suck
kick ass
ass
and
shoot
no,
gum.
It's the
and I'm all out of asses to kick. Wait a minute.
That didn't come out right at all. It's the game that took 10 years to suck.
Well, you can wrap. You can. Well, what do you want to do? We can wrap up. What else had good stories? And then we can go to.
Let's finish this joke about Duke Nukem.
Yeah, how much it stinks. Like, it's like how it became a parody.
The thing about Duke Nukem is like, what I think killed Duke Nukem was the time it took for the game to come out, so it missed the zeitgeist where it could have been funny.
Right.
And then
what kind of ironic?
The multiple. Developers ended up going to the people who finished it, Gearbox, they did Borderlands, another really good first-person shooter.
Yeah,
I heard about that. Yeah,
ain't no rest for the wicked.
Duke Nukem Forever was dated as hell
in aesthetic, design choice, just pretty much from construction.
Main character.
Well, the character itself would have been like a nice throwback to that 80s
like
kind of culture at one point.
At this point, he's so niche that no one really cares or. Like, so many people are so offended easily now.
In this more PC era.
And so, like, Duke Nukem, his time has passed.
You mean
passed.
The people who are offended by Portal? Because it made fun of orphans?
Like,
orphans don't have parents! Like, literally, I was watching Fox News and they were like, this game is evil. I was sitting there with my daughter, who's adopted, and she knows she's adopted because she's Asian and I'm white, and the game started making fun of orphans.
Dag.
I mean, it's like Duke Nukem's time has passed, and so.
But and the characters always and the other characters in the game, like they just respect him, and like if they acted like Duke Nukem was like, what is this loser doing? Like, and like if they turned him into Johnny Bravo,
I wish it would have been almost like what JCVD did for Jean-Claude Van Damme, where it was almost like it's almost like him looking at the fact that he's a joke,
yeah,
and you know having to go that route instead of glorifying, like they turned his. Joke style and put it up to 11.
The one-liners and it's just
the
like
the one-liners were so bad, and he's still fighting those hogs.
It's like there's nothing that like, I don't know who the game is for, and it's just
not
like
for me
or any of us really. So yeah,
god dang,
yeah,
I really messed up.
Well, flashing back to good story when it comes to games, another game that I can think of that has a really great story when it's like telling a narrative. is Deus Ex. And but Deus Ex can
play. I didn't ask for this.
No, we didn't, but I'm glad it did come out. But like but the thing about what separates the sort of Deus Ex narrative from sort of like a, how it did it towards BioShock and Valve's Half-Life is they told those stories completely through gameplay.
Right.
So there was no cutscenes or pre-render stuff.
Sorry, Kojima.
Deus Ex, fundamentally, it used cutscenes to convey its story. And we did a Deus Ex review at some point where went more in depth for Deus Ex. Unfortunately, that never saw the light of day through technical issues. So I don't really want to like bring those up. But
chances are you probably played it or heard people talk about it. Or watched a game playthrough or whatever.
Yeah.
Or you have a leather jacket and a
goatee. But if you want to see something funny, YouTube Jay-Z in Deus Ex. Funny stuff.
You know what your YouTube? Harrison Ford playing Uncharted. Uncharted.
You know what else you should YouTube? Harrison Ford on Conan when he's high on acid.
You know what else you should YouTube? Adam Jensen punching hookers.
You know what else you should YouTube? These nuts, because we should get back on track.
You should occupy these nuts.
Wait,
he should?
You're nuts the 1%?
Yes.
Of what?
Your body?
I'm confused out of my mind right now.
No, that's the 99 cent, baby. You know what I'm saying? No.
So you have giant balls bigger than your entire body.
Elephantitis. Elephantitis of the testicles.
It's a real problem.
Like testicular torsion. It's when they twist around.
That Venture Brothers episode.
Yeah, it's a real thing. That upset me thoroughly. It's a problem.
Oh my goodness.
Should we take a break while I ice these nuts?
Yeah. Wait. Yeah.
So should I not ice them?
No, X-nay the nuts. Break. Yes.
You want me to X-nay the nuts?
Wait.
Thing?
You want me to nix my nuts? I don't want. Okay.
Pig Latin, whatever.
So fired up. Let's do this.
Okay. Game on.
Watch and learn.
Should I use the knife?
Watch and learn.
I mean, there are a lot of FPSs. We're going to touch on a couple more before we wrap this up and then start having some minor discussions, I guess. Maybe. Yes. First-person shooters, a franchise that's come out in the last couple of years that I think have a lot of potential but have not really met up to that right now is Resistance and Killzone.
Mm-hmm.
Both games will give me so like in the like I'm personally tired of military shooters. So when you do a shooter, you have to give me something interesting,
like monsters and shit.
It's an interesting sort of aesthetic.
Yeah,
Killzone was interesting in that,
like the future or the past.
Killzone was sort of Halo.
Yeah, well, because it was on the PS2, which is like had no shooters.
Killzone was designed to be the Halo killer.
Killzone was like Halo mixed with Gears of War, except less beefy characters,
and you can't jump.
Yeah.
In that first game.
I remember Killzone 1, and Killzone 1 was such a broken game.
Wouldn't say broken.
It was glitchy as all hell.
It was
kind of ugly.
It was dark and muddy.
It was flawed. Yeah, extremely flawed.
Which is why when they showed that Killzone 2 trailer, I was like, I'll believe it when I see it. That's all.
Yeah, because when the Killzone 2 trailer came out, everybody was like, hold up.
But that's when everyone was still drinking the Kool-Aid about the power of the PS3.
Yeah.
I was like, well, we were still seeing Kawasaki's fall into a bathtub.
And Killzone 2 was beautiful.
Yes. It is gorgeous.
It's a gorgeous game, but not up to that level.
It's nowhere close to a Halo killer.
I wouldn't nitpick
about
it.
Nowhere close.
I wouldn't nitpick about it.
A Halo 2 killer.
Yeah.
Yeah. A Halo 2 killer. Even though Halo 3 wasn't that much of it was a little bit better looking game. And Master Chief did turn it into 10 feet tall. I can leap six people in a row.
I am the arbitrator.
Arbiter.
Whatever.
He is
a traitor.
You arbitard, my lord.
And then Resistance on Insomniac.
I will kill your family.
First foray outside the Ratchet franchise, and
the Spyros.
Yeah, Spyros franchise. My feeling of Resistance are...
The first was a World War II game.
Yeah.
With a bunch of wild
They did something interesting. They decided to do a World War II game, but say they're aliens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So still finally a World War II shooter.
Yeah.
But, yeah. And the best part of Resistance, for me, are the weapons. They still take that aesthetic from Ratchet and Clank.
You still have the World War II guns, like the boot, like a shotgun.
But they all function in the same sort of capacity as weapons and Ratchet.
They have secondary functions and abilities.
I guess the story or the driving force of Resistance,
they keep changing, though.
Yeah, they've never been sure of what they to be. And that's what killed the franchise.
The first one
was just a World War II game.
Yeah, then the second one
turned into Black Ops.
The third one is now this survival resistance game.
The first one was like a silent protagonist, and it was all told through like these.
Well, he wasn't silent.
Well, like he didn't talk. Like it was like all the story was taught by we got these like little sound bites,
military briefings
or something like that. Tell you.
Then in the second one.
He's talking more.
Then he goes rogue.
He's the Black Ops one.
Yeah. Nathan Zachary is like I can speak now.
And then he turns out like to have been taken over. But and then he has to get killed by his partner.
Yeah.
And
then goes on to marry his sister.
And then becomes the third game's protagonist.
Which I really hate it because it's like that Aliens Resurrection thing where it's just like, don't make my characters survive at the end of the last installment just so we can kill them off at the beginning of the next one. I hate, that's just something I feel is lazy. Like, don't tease me with that and then take it away. So,
you mean Alien 3?
Alien 3, yes, Alien 3.
Resurrection
was before.
Yeah, Resurrection was they brought back.
Brought back. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. So,
I mean, the Resistance games were never.
Like, they're solid games.
Oh, yeah.
But they're sort of missing that quality that needs to. Come over.
Because of my lack of general interest in first person shooters, I just, when the Resistance came out, I just never really cared to look into it. Only reason I ended up playing Killzone 2 is because Killzone 1 seemed like a waste opportunity to me. Mm. And so when Killzone 2 came out, I was like, let me try this. I was impressed with the way the trailer had looked.
In defense of the original Killzone, it was limited by the PlayStation 2's like hardware.
Yeah.
Like, you can only do so much.
It was ambitious, but the follow-through was poor.
Yeah.
And so, when Killzone 2 came out, I wanted to give it a shot, and just, I kind of liked the aesthetic of it.
Yeah. It certainly did more than, like, those other PS2 games, like Black and 13.
Yeah.
Which were, like, I think there was a 24 game.
There was?
Yeah, there was. They did like the multiple camera, the multiple screen things and like that. So.
And then I played Killzone 3 as well. And really the only change was the fact that it had a jetpack.
Well, jetpacks are awesome.
Yeah, jetpacks are awesome. But like it just felt like Killzone 2.
Dark Boy
with a couple of... Oh, God. But it just felt like Killzone 2, but with a few...
Tweaks?
Yeah.
Yeah, I get that.
Yeah. I mean, are there any other franchises you want to bring up before we start wrapping this up?
GoldenEye.
Okay.
The game has been made 3 times. Like, we've got the original GoldenEye on the N64, which is like,
one of the greatest.
Of all time.
Yes.
And every time I go back and play, I'm like, how did we play this game?
Here's the thing. I think GoldenEye is one of the greatest multiplayer games of all time.
Right. I don't remember a thing from this story.
And it had the golden gun.
Well, yeah. I was the man with the golden gun.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
And I
still want to see
that.
I played as Odd Job.
Oh, this guy.
And I was running around with the Moonraker, and I was just lasering people in the face.
I thought you were one of those karate choppers.
Well, yeah, I was karate chop some people,
you
too.
You annoying. I used the wristwatch laser. That's what I was all about. I'd always kill people in the bathroom. I don't know why. I just chill in the stall, like, ah, gotcha. Mic check.
If we're going to talk about GoldenEye, I guess we can move
segue
on.
Into multiplayer.
What about Rogue Agent and the re-release of GoldenEye and GoldenEye.
I don't care.
Yeah,
I remember the E3 when they came out and said, "Hey, we'll bring back GoldenEye." I'm like, "Yeah, wait, I don't care."
I'm like,
"Well, yeah, it was like that." That was Wii's last ditch in chance. Like they were just like,
last ditch in chance. I mean, that E3 they came out with a slew of great games.
But like it just felt like let's keep
appealing,
bringing stuff back so we can.
Well, that's Rare though. A big part of that, like that was Rare's like construction of like a great shooter in like games like in games like GoldenEye and
everyone knows that Rare and Nintendo are no longer friends anymore.
No.
Nope.
like Perfect Dark, which is one of the premier games of the era.
Before it became an Xbox poster girl.
Perfect Dark Zero as a launch title. We haven't seen it since.
They tried to make that the answer to what's her name? Laura.
Laura Croft's Tomb Raider?
Yeah.
Well,
it didn't work out so well.
I don't know about the answer, but
different genre, really. Yeah.
But like they were trying to like, especially with what was it, Perfect Dark Zero?
Oh, I thought you were gonna say Conker's Bad Fur Day. Okay. Because we're back on Rare.
Was that an FPS?
No, it was third person shooter.
Okay.
Yeah.
Actually, it was a platformer. I don't even remember what the hell Conker's Bad Fur Day was. Because I remember Conker Reloaded came out and it was supposed to be just a rehash
of like.
But it was like a shooter, and I'm like, I don't know, I don't care anymore.
It being like a parody of a bunch of like pop culture references and things like that. But wait, no. Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
Now, and oh, obligatory Banjo Kazooie reference. So, yeah.
Best game we ever came out with.
There we are.
Yeah, so, yeah, you're jumping to multiplayer.
Was a trollop.
We've talked about the one of the big problems with shooters nowadays is that multiplayer has become such a big part of it that if you're a solo gamer.
Or have no friends.
Or Adam Sessler. You're. No, he makes these jokes all the time.
We love you, Adam.
I love you, Adam.
Please come with the feedback. Please come back.
Look, Blair is doing a great job.
He's doing the best job that he can, but Adam is.
And Adam's on every episode.
Yeah, it's fine. I want you to drive.
Unreal. How old is Adam?
He's 30, I want to say like mid-30s. He's not the oldest person working at G4.
It's weird, right?
He just looks 50.
Chris Hardwick is the oldest person working at G4.
What?
And Kevin Ferrer is the youngest.
Well, yeah, we already know about that.
Kenneth Bailey.
They were born the same year.
Really?
Really?
She just seems younger.
Great, Scott.
Huh.
Caesar's Ghost. Does Unreal Tournament 3 qualify as a
Yes.
You know, we talk a lot about, what was that show?
We
talk about Arena a lot back in our G4 days, and it's like Unreal Tournament 2003? 2004.
I never liked the overall look of that game.
Double kill.
Like,
headshot.
It just, like, it looks so clunky. Like, not clunky, but, like, the
veneer.
It was a PC game.
Yeah, it was.
The whole style of it, the whole style of it just never resonated with me.
Uncharted 3 was a big delineation from that, though. That was a game that was, like, it looked really, really good, and it brought PC quality, like
you said Uncharted.
Wait.
Yeah, you did.
You did. Oh, it's Uncharted. Goddamn. Oh, my bad. I keep saying Uncharted because of Marcus. It's Uncharted. Yes.
Yeah. Like, it brought keyboard support to the PS3 with patches and things of that like, which like made the PS3 more PC-like and made the platform more open, which is one of the great things about these shooters. Like, we talk about a Counter-Strike or something like that, which was built.
I guess maybe it was because Unreal Tournament was almost like exclusively a multiplayer game.
And like, more often than not, a PC game.
Yeah, right? And so I never felt a need to really get in and play this at all.
Yeah. Well, good for you.
Well, anyway, so like back on the tip of multiplayer, I mean, shooters for the most part has become the single player shooter is sold primarily on the multiplayer now,
right?
Yep.
And as a direct result, it's their stories tend to, or the single player tends to suffer because developers put all their effort into multiplayer, and whether that works or not is
it's not even their prerogative. We're selling units. We know people are going to pick it up.
Like, Homefront's a good example of something.
Right, right.
They promoted up the wazoo about awesome its single player would be. Like, the writer of Red Dawn.
Yeah, like
Wolverines.
Wolverines! Like, okay, let's kill the black teacher at the beginning. What?
Oh,
okay.
Homefront.
Yeah. While the single player was bad.
Yeah.
But the multiplayer, you could tell they put all the work in there. Brink is another example of a game.
Oh, God, yeah.
Where, like, I remember seeing all these, like, development trailers about how the single player and the multiplayer are fused into one single thing. But you could tell they built this game ground up for multiplayer.
That's
the crutch of most first-person shooters right now.
I beat the single player campaign, both of them on Brink, in the course of about 10 hours.
Like, and when you look at games like MAG, like Massive Action Game, which did not fly the way that they anticipated it would, which is just like, you know what, we know that people want to play with a bunch of people or whatever like that. And it's just like, even like the related Resistance games, which had up like 64 player support, or like this.
You want 25 people on screen? How about 500?
500! 99! It's like, this is an assumption that people will make their own fun.
We need a hack and slash podcast.
There's one.
Oh, there's one in the docket.
That's gonna be a good one.
In my pocket.
Yeah. I mean, like, because I mean, when you build a game that's primarily for shooter fans are sort of I wouldn't say lumped into two categories. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're the hardcore shooters that when they find a good game with multiplayer support, they will dedicate their time to that.
The Counter-Strike.
Yeah, the Call of Duty fans. The Battlefield
fans.
The
two are very separate, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then there are the people who, when they play a game, they want a good single... They don't have time or energy to call their friends at 10 o'clock to match up and play.
Yo, bro. Get online.
A lot of people have lives, and they jump into a casualty. So you have games like Bioshock and Half-Life and stuff, where they focus entirely on that single-player experience.
Yeah. Mm,
true.
And
even the ones that like even the ones that play, that kind of fail at that, like The Darkness or Condemned or whatever like that, which are first person action games. And, like,
all right,
Mirror's Edge, of course,
that goddamn bear.
Yeah, which was exclusively single player. At least there's an edge to it. There's like there's an intent and design to like appeal to like not everyone wants to play with other people in these games. Like,
yeah,
they want this kind of immersion or whatever like that.
Like, here's the thing: not everyone wants to play with other people. But if they do want to play with other people, they want to play all at the same time.
And I know they want to play alone, and no one feels more alone than an Indian with guns. I'll tell you that much.
You're going to bring up Turok now.
Yes, Turok.
Oh, new segment, but we can still bring up Turok.
Fine. Wow. Turok and Prey, to be perfectly honest.
The main character of Prey looks kind of like that dude from Metalocalypse?
Yes.
Yeah.
Let's just call it Deathclock.
There we go. He looks kind of like the lead singer of Deathclock.
Nathan Explosion?
Yeah.
Yes.
I remember playing the first Prey and being slightly impressed by it, but more aligned bored.
Because it's like, it's an alien abduction thing, and I'm on a living ship of sorts.
And you get
with,
that
and
weird...
had all these cool gravity stuff to do with. I mean, like, what
this,
that weird spirit walker thing.
The spirit walker thing was a little
like,
weird.
He was Native American.
I know. It's like, this is racist. It's like, I don't want
to be... has to have.
But it's always like one of those, like, I don't want to be in touch with my cultural roots, like, stuff like that.
So Enoch Chuck. Yeah.
But no, like, still in the chat, like, when I'm talking about first-person shooters and what personally gets me into a first-person shooter, either a strong craft, like that Modern Warfare 2, or think outside the box and put in an element that makes it seem like this isn't just your standard military shooter. Mm-hmm. And, like, Prey had that element, like, the strong sort of game design in there.
Right.
But it just sort of meandered a bit.
It did. In the same way that kind of Turok did. In that,
well, Turok was bad.
Prey's
an okay game.
I haven't played the later ones. I only played one on the N64. I just realized, for some reason, we had guns that, like, okay, if I fire once, they turn to stone. If I fire again, they explode. I have a laser arrow.
Turok was weird, because...
there were dinosaurs, also. I
remember playing the old Turok on, I think it was Xbox, at my cousin's house. I would play that old one. I forget which one it was. And for some reason, I kind of had fun. But then, like...
For some reason.
But then, like, the next-gen Turok came out, and they tried to, like, turn it into almost, like, a Predator-style... almost Predator mixed with Jurassic Park style thing, and it had, I don't think it had anything to do with the old Turoks.
Just a side note.
I don't even know what Turok is about.
Nope, I don't
know. He's like some, you're fighting dinosaurs with bows and arrows.
I don't know why. It's like, you start with a knife and you're just, and they're mercenaries or whatever like that. I can't explain.
Let's move on.
Yeah,
Prey 2 is going to be fantastic, though.
Yep. Ooh. And then there's, Prey 2 is looking pretty good. But it kind of, I hope I don't get that pariah syndrome, where it's just like, so much promise, and then,
pariah.
Well, it's just another game.
Man, they were singing the highest praises for that game.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, oh, it was a level editor.
It's going to blow your mind.
Yeah, not so much. Yeah, I liked it. It was a good game at the time, but it's like, nothing that was like going to be historical or anything like that. I had more fun with the Far Cry games after that, so...
Returning to our core, I guess,
discussion
on multiplayer. I mean, I'll play a multiplayer game, but only with my close friends, who I know aren't people who dedicate their entire, who have my same interests, and
won't be an a-hole unless it's just jokingly.
And few games, and we were talking about this early on, few multiplayer games work so that you can play more than two people at a time.
Yeah,
like that's what I love about Halo 3, especially that 4-player co-op.
Except for those goddamn Guardians.
Yeah, that was like, and I mean, so it gets to a point where like, I don't.
Yeah, I mean, because I'll be damned if I'm going on
the Xbox Live by myself. And playing, yeah, I've played multiple matches of Call of Duty Online and had no fun. Because it's one of those things, and multiplayer is what alienates a lot of people from this enjoying
the
shooters.
The most conversation you get is, dude, stop shooting on your team. Oh.
Well, not only that but not even just...
Or suck my dick!
Juvenile and just poor, like, etiquette online. Like, especially if you're a girl. But
yeah, if you're
generally,
a girl,
your boobs.
Like, generally, the experience itself, like, if you're not a person who dedicates your entire day, like, to really enjoy a multiplayer shooter, that's the only game you pretty much
play. You gotta invest all your time to it.
Like, you can play other games, but at the end of the day, you're coming back to this game.
You're absolutely
and
right.
If that's your type of thing, then the game is for you.
Good for you. It's not.
But there's a large segment of the video game market who that's not their thing.
It's becoming more and more clear that the demographic is becoming more and more narrow. And whose fault is that? Maybe it's the audiences. I don't know.
Yes, it sort of is the audience. And that leads into, I guess, our sort of conclusion is that, personally, I believe first-person shooters have become stagnant.
Yeah.
Yep.
With Activision sort of...
Stranglehold
on Call of Duty and putting out a game every year and every other game trying to play catch-up to Call of Duty and the largest sleet of just... generic military games.
The thing that I think is with first person shooters is there's only so much you can really do in that realm. Because, you know, with fighting games or RPGs, you can have the most outlandish characters, stories, weird stuff to happen. And it's like
the most outlandish thing we've gotten, which is like
BioShock is a good example of doing something good with first person shooters.
But for every BioShock that you get, most first-person shooters, there's only certain things they can really get away with without it being completely and totally ridiculous.
It's like, as far as innovation is concerned, the most we get is, like, someone fine-tuning the elements that make these shooters great. Like a Team Fortress, it's just, like, fun people doing the same thing over and over again. Or you get something ridiculous. Oh, not ridiculous, but just something clever you never thought. Like a first-person puzzle game. Like
Portal. After a while, everything will either be a sequel... or like a rehash of another thing with first-person shooters, and there's only so much left they can really do.
And you know, I don't necessarily need innovation all the time. I just need like a really fun game to play.
Well, I don't need innovation because you're going to get to a certain point where you can't really fix something that's not broken.
Yeah.
But there will always
be improvement.
Something fresh.
Right.
Something fresh. Like, that's why I thoroughly enjoyed BioShock, because I was playing military shooters and I was getting nothing out of them.
It's like, for once, like...
And why I'm going to love Infinite,
I'd like to kill something other than a Nazi for once.
Well...
Or a zombie Nazi.
Well,
killing Nazis
I'd kill Nazis
fun.
For all time.
That's always fun.
They're the universal worst people in the world.
But you think, the thing is with Infinite and BioShock is that is really... golden fleece, so to speak, in the shooter world right now, where that is special. I don't know what else really they can do. Like, it'll surprise me if
I see... What do you think? There have been multiple attempts to try and bring something new to the first-person market. I mean, Mirror's Edge is a good example of trying to do something new with first-person.
A first-person shooter? There wasn't really about the shooting, per se. Like,
I mean, it was a parkour game,
yeah,
and it was spectacular, but the market...
Before that, there was Breakdown. Or I think it was called Breakdown. It was basically you could see your hands. It was a little more immersive.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah. I remember that.
It's like you ate a hamburger for health, and it's just like, well, shouldn't that make you sicker or something like that?
Well, the thing also with that is even when they try and do something new, sometimes either the execution is bad or it's not marketable.
Well, yeah, for
it's the audience. People are so like the casual market is so in love with Call of Duty that all you need to do is. Put something out that looks like Call of Duty without doing really much work.
Add some blooms.
Like, okay, like Bulletstorm was different.
Bulletstorm was a...
It was a first.
It was.
Yeah, it is, because it's like over the top, and like, that's the design and that's the design and crux of it. Yeah,
but
right,
it reveled in the
that.
Fact that it was over the top, and it was also kind of different because you get rewarded for doing crazy shit.
That part of Bulletstorm didn't really... That's not why I enjoyed Bulletstorm. I enjoyed Bulletstorm because it wasn't a straight military shooter. That they added elements into the game that made it seem like it's not the reward system. It was like what you can do with the guns. Like when you're most shooters, there is a set amount. You got shotguns, you got assault rifles, you got submachine guns, you got a rocket launcher. That's all. You got those core weapons, and you can only do so much. Bulletstorm, you got a gun. There's maybe three
set modes.
Dozens.
Yeah.
Of things you can do with that weapon.
Grappling hook.
Well,
Bulletstorm, aside from the reward system, which I thought was awesome just because you get rewarded for doing topless crazy things, the thing I enjoy when I feel like I'm actually playing a character. When it comes to military shooters, I never really feel like I'm playing a character. I feel like it's just like...
You're a soldier.
Yeah, I'm a grunt, and that's what I'm there for. Oh. Whereas with like stuff like, you said, Bioshock or Bulletstorm, you actually feel like you're playing characters. And that's always fun to me.
On Bioshock's standpoint, the main character of Bioshock was completely... most of the main characters of Bioshock, it's going to change Infinite, were irrelevant to the story at hand.
But even still...
They were Cypher. But it was the story itself that inferred
exactly.
Upon.
It's like if you recall that first one, it's just you wake up, you're drowning, and it's just like you're just finding this stuff along the way. You're playing yourself.
But you knew you weren't a military grunt. And to that in itself makes you not a statistic.
I'm trying really hard not to make a black joke.
there's gonna come a tipping point. And when that happens, I will laugh. Because and a lot of people will laugh because they've seen it coming, but the market isn't willing to support it, and
games are expensive. Like
that's another problem, but that's something we really
wait
can't
till PS4 with. Comes out. $70 games.
Yeah. If games get more than $60, I'm
moving completely to PC. I will go strictly. My business will go strictly to Steam. I'm gonna just watch movies.
I am.
Just
I'll
keep playing golf.
I will go outside and play basketball. Like a normal black person.
Never played a pickup game.
You can play golf.
Not really.
We haven't.
How much
except for that one time at Zach's house.
That wasn't really a pickup game because it was just us.
True.
How was that day at the Lynx cause, Dernis?
A day at the what?
At the Lynx.
What do you mean? 18, a 18 day at the what? I thought you played golf.
That's what you know the slang.
No, I didn't.
That's what you know the slang.
Man, it's
an Arnold Palmer?
Lemonade and ice cold sweet tea.
Who's Arnold Palmer?
The guy who inspired the Arnold Palmer soft drink.
It's not a soft drink at all.
Yeah, let's move on. I mean, there's not much we can say about first person shooters. Personally, for us, they're not our foray.
Not a cup of tea.
Yes, and they're
or
not.
Or Mountain Dew, as it were.
They're not doing anything really for us. They're not doing anything to draw us in.
No.
The franchises that I am like duty bound to play just because of nostalgia.
There are
like,
little glimmers of hope.
Like Halo 4, I don't like it's not made by Bungie, so I'm a little upset by that.
Right.
But I don't care. I'm going to play that game.
Yeah. And I'll probably watch you play that game. But when I saw the Halo 4 trailer, I knew. They have nothing to do to compete with PS3 right now.
Right now.
Like, and all I'm saying is that, like, when they say they're remaking Halo 1 Combat Evolved with modern graphics, I was like, this is a godsend to Earth.
If we can do rocket launcher matches, then sure.
If I get my pistol.
Going down.
If I get my pistol back in my
headlight.
Yes, we are. And my headlight.
All right, then it's going down.
Basement.
Yes.
Exactly.
No stealth mode for you.
Health packs? You get health packs.
Health packs are always good.
Let's wrap this episode up. I know this hasn't been the most, I wouldn't say, straightforward.
We're going to be general with this one because, like, there's so many shooters.
There's so much,
there.
And I personally want to do a lot more concise episodes franchises. Mm-hmm. So I didn't want to go too in-depth. I apologize in advance.
I'm sure you understand.
If this episode is your cup of tea, someone plug the show again.
Hey, I mean, not every episode is going to be people's cup of tea.
And
for those people,
I also apologize there won't be double posting again this week. Let's just say there's a lot of complications.
Ain't no holidays this week, so we can't just be talking about Curse of the Cowardly Dog and how much it F-ed us.
Exactly.
Seriously.
Some of us have to search for jobs.
Some of us actually got jobs.
So someone plug the show.
All right. Okay. Well, of course, we have the email. welovepcp@yahoo.com. There you can contact us and get any kind of questions, comments. Then, of course, there's the website in progress, popculturepodcast.wordpress.com. Talk to us. Let us know what you think. We have the archive there with an iTunes link, so you can check out our past episodes. Hit us up on our Facebook like page, Pop Culture Podcast. That's Pop Culture Podcast. Wink, wink. Nudge, nudge. Like it. And get engaged and engage in conversations with us. Like, what are some of your favorite shooters that we forgot? Or which ones do you think are that we mentioned were like sucky? Do you feel that we went a little too hard on the engines?
No.
Yeah.
No. Well, you went hard on the engines.
I was just trying
to. I didn't go hard on the engines.
You made a lot of engine jokes.
First of all,
you're calling them engines.
You're so calling it.
I was impeding what you were saying.
Look,
I was impeding what you were saying.
I was just talking about Thomas, the tank engine. I'm sorry. And there's a Twitter at WeLovePCP.
Oh, man, I missed Tail on Wheels.
What the deuce?
It's a new AMC show. It's got Common in it. He's a runaway slave.
Wow. Anyway, yeah, so that was our episode. Because we have a script today, I can tell you what our next 5 episodes in advance are going to be.
Really?
Yes. Zero 53 is just us talking about video game adaptions into movies.
Oh, Lord.
I kind of miss the freeform style.
Kind of, without scripts.
Yeah, it's kind of fun.
Well,
that's what the weekly does.
When there's a lot of information that needs to be doled out, we're gonna have a script for.
Gotcha.
But when it's just like a one straight thing, we don't need a script.
I gotcha.
That's what the weekly dose is for.
0454 is us gonna be talking about Gundam. I mean, we touched on it when we talked about Tsunami.
Be prepared
for a pretty.
Lengthy, heavy episode.
Look, if you've never seen Gundam, this is probably not the best place to start.
I really wish Jovi could be here for that episode.
055, unless we're talking about superhero dramas. Ooh. Or shows where the main characters have powers. So, yes, we will talk about No Ordinary Family.
And Smallville.
And the Cape.
Fuck.
Did anybody have powers in the Cape?
No.
Okay.
Three seasons in the movie.
Oh, wait. No. Keith David did because he still has a career after that.
His son's name was Trig.
He works in the Navy, so.
Oh, well, fair enough. So, the voice
wait,
of the
no,
Navy.
That's
the voice of the Navy.
Sarah Palin's son.
Or Trip, or whatever his name is.
Yeah.
White people in their children's names.
Sure. Yeah, it's Shanae.
Yeah.
It's better. At least they're using words.
Trip.
Like shooter and gunner and
pilot inspector.
What?
That's a word.
That's not better than Shanae.
Jedi.
Well, I get.
It's not better.
Your Majesty.
You won't get beat up in school for being named Shanae. You'll get beat up in school or made fun of for being named pilot inspector.
Well, you won't get made fun of if you go to a black school if your name is Shanae. If you go to a private school, your name is Shanae. You're not gonna be the head bully. You're not gonna have any.
If you can afford to go to a private school, your name is Shanae.
First of all, you're not going to be able to afford to go to
the school. No, that's what we're
facing. Yeah. Hey, man.
Because you're poor.
I didn't say you're poor. I'm just saying you come from an underprivileged neighborhood.
Those district lines are very racist.
And then 056 is going to be just in time for the 20th anniversary of Zelda. The anniversary of Zelda.
Zelda music.
It was Final Fantasy. And it's us going to be talking about Legend of Zelda. You got beef? Because I see your face.
I just still have a problem with Link because of Super Smash Brothers. That's all.
Well, when Star Fox comes out with another game, we'll talk about him.
No, we're not.
I know.
It's not going to happen.
It's never. Well, beyond the handheld.
Do a barrel roll.
Speaking of do a barrel roll, anybody go on Google. Go on Google and put in do a barrel roll. It'll blow your mind.
It's actually not a barrel roll, though.
You shut up.
Okay.
You blow your mind.
No, and 057, and we're gonna take a look at one of the most
shonen
manga series, Naruto, and deconstruct why it deserves to be in its place in terms of shonen manga.
It still won't be over by then.
Don't it's not believe it. It's Date Bayo. I refuse. Fuck believe.
And by then, you know, Naruto still wouldn't have rectified the situation with Hinata.
No, it wouldn't have.
It's never gonna happen. That's gonna be a fun episode.
It will be.
It'll be something. I didn't have much.
Yeah, so that's...
It will expose the huge geek in all of us.
Look, we have...
We do a podcast!
About geeky... Like, there's no...
Avoiding it.
I mean, I'm sure there's...
Real
nigga podcast out there.
No.
We should have called our podcast the Real Nigga Podcast. And then, it'll just... flip on people when we just do ignorant.
Why that's not going to work is that all the people who want to listen to the podcast aren't, because we're called the Real Nigga Podcast. And all the people who do are going to be angry and try to shoot us in the streets.
Welcome to the Real Nigga Podcast, where we're going to talk about Naruto.
No, you're not doing it right. Yo, man, the Real Nigga Podcast, we're going to talk about Naruto. These niggas didn't know I grabbed it from
Naruto.
They don't.
We call it Naruto.
Naruto.
In the streets.
My nigga Sasuke and his Sharingan.
Sharingan.
White.
Kakashi.
Kakashi.
Sakura.
Best believe.
I used to call Sakura.
And
fucking card captors. They couldn't pronounce the name right.
Nope.
And Ryu.
It's Ryu.
I got you pronounced it right the first time, and it's. I don't. Anyway, let's wrap this episode up. I'm A.B. Williams signing out for the rest of the boys at PCP
Broadcast.
I was going to say Broadsword.
That'd be awesome.
Josiah Bradley.
Getting back on that green.
He had nothing better to do with that episode. Marcus Elephant.
Oh, Sternis, you just.
And that guy.
I believe in the spirit of my elders.
Apparently, he's one negative 17th Navajo.
Why Navajo? God.
It's the first one.
Why can't I be like Algonquin, you know?
Do you want to be Blackfoot and be ironic?
Sue. You know what? I already got Blackfoot. That's fine.
I'm going to go read Scalp now.
Because I'm going to read The Last of the Mohicans.
I got a rock.
Hey, man. They're going to show The Last of the Mohicans in the library.
Oh, is it?
You want to go show watch The Last of the Mohicans in the library? That's a mad TV
show. You mean with Daniel Day-Lewis, who's not Native American?
I love him.
He's such a method actor that he probably could be Native American just for the role. He had just made himself officially Native American.
I will figure out the genome in order to give myself those cheekbones.
Exactly. He will inject himself with DNA of a Native American just to make himself work.
Let's wrap this up, B.
I dance with wolves.
Yeah. You. I hate you.
While I'm gone.
We lost to the frickin' 49ers.